Oh, I don't mean to pry, and it's none of my business, really, but do you mind if I ask, where did you get married? See, I'm curious about Rhondda weddings. Church, chapel, or registry office, was it? Never. Well, sorry to be a nosy Parker, but was it a white wedding? Beautiful dress, was it? How many bridesmaids did you have? Who was best man? And while I'm at it, where was the reception? Now, tell me if I'm intruding, but how many guests? Well, who paid for that? Did you have speeches and a cake and dancing? DJ or live band? And if it's not too rude to ask, did you go straight off on honeymoon? Oh, no, 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 I'm pushing it too far now, I can tell. Play the music and I'll start again. John on the Rhondda Weddings. Take two. Where did you get married? Never having had one myself, I'm curious about Rhondda weddings. I know I'm making a big assumption by even asking the question. Not everybody gets married. Not everybody who wants to can get married, and not everybody who can wants to. Then again, some people get married more than once. We've got a couple of those in our family. My grandfather got married 4 times. And my father, well, when I was growing up, he was always marrying people. One year, he must have had 12 weddings. Honest? I'll tell you about it now in a minute. By and large, Rhondda weddings in my generation followed a set pattern. There was the ceremony. No picture book locations in those days. You couldn't get married in a hotel, on a beach, by a lakeside, in a castle up a mountain, or anywhere fancy. Basically, you had 2 choices. A place of worship or the registry office. After the happy couple were pronounced husband and wife, and in those days it was only a man and a woman who could get married, there was a reception. Usually in a club, with a sit-down meal, a fair amount to drink, cutting the cake, speeches, a bit of a dance, and then Mr. and Mrs. would drive away for the honeymoon in a car festooned with wedding favours, balloons, a potato up the exhaust, and a few lewd messages scrawled on the boot and bonnet in shaving foam. Just married. No hand signals. Well, I don't know if that's how it was for you. Humanity is gloriously diverse, and desire is a streetcar that takes many different routes. So I'm guessing there's a much greater variety of wedding stories than a single stereotype can cover. Take my grandfather, for instance. I mentioned him before. Married 4 times. The 4th time when he was 84. I tease my family that I'm going to model myself on him. It does sound mischievous, doesn't it? Promiscuous, even. Only film stars used to marry that often. But unlike Richard Burton, my grandpa never got divorced. His first 3 wives all passed away before him. The first 2 still young mothers, leaving him with 3 small children to bring up. Tough times in the Rhondda. His 4th marriage was to a fine woman who married him, I'm sure, as an act of Christian charity, to relieve my mam of the burdens of caring for an ageing father. But Grandpa insisted on treating it as a love match. I remember him leaping round like a teenager in our house in the days before the wedding, whistling Cliff Richard's Congratulations, the big love song of the moment. If he was getting married, he was getting married wholeheartedly. My father, as I've said, married 12 people. He was a Baptist deacon, and for quite a few years during my childhood, Bethel Tonopandy didn't have a full-time minister, so Dad was the licensed person. He had the authority and legal standing to conduct marriages in the chapel. It always delighted him to officiate, and of course he took his responsibilities seriously. He never interfered in the choice of hymns for the ceremony, but it did amuse him if Dear Lord and Father of Mankind was chosen, as it often seemed to be. I can see him now, with a twinkle in his eye during the 2nd and 3rd lines of the hymn, With a happy couple standing in the big seat in front of him, their voices raised with the rest of the congregation, imploring God to forgive our foolish ways and reclothe us in our rightful minds. The implication being that anyone who decided to get married must be mad. Bethel was a typical nonconformist chapel, gloomy when the lights weren't on, the only daylight shining in through narrow, frosted windows. Friends of mine were married there when I was 21. In those days, I had shoulder-length hair, a full moustache and beard, and I would often complete the hippie look by wearing a kaftan. It was that kind of era. Anyway, my friends asked me to go along to the rehearsal the afternoon before the wedding. I was waiting for them in the chapel, standing on my own at the front, when the bride's auntie came in through the door at the back with her two small children, the bridesmaids. She looked up, peered into the dark chapel, and saw this figure, me, illuminated by a shaft of sunlight. She cried out, "Oh my God, it's Jesus!" And then she hurried her daughters away, which I always thought was a shame, because if she really had mistaken me for Jesus, he famously said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Apologies if you find that story, as some people I know might, a little too close to blasphemy. I think the Lord would have seen the funny side. I seem to remember he caused a bit of a stir at a wedding once himself. Well, after starting off today by being so inquisitive about other people's Rhondda weddings, I suppose I'd better tell you why I've never had one. When I was a student, I met a girl with a lovely Irish accent, or a lovely girl with an Irish accent, whichever way you want to put it. We dated for a whole 12 months, but at the start of our final year in college, she decided, I can't think why, that she was far too mature for me. She headed back to Ireland and I came home to the Rhondda, and that's how it was for another 2 years. Then, one evening, I was about to go off on a month-long Greyhound bus trip coast to coast across the United States. I was still in my hippie phase, and I was trying to emulate Jack Kerouac. Anyway, I took a notion to phone her. As I say, for years we hadn't seen each other, let alone kissed. But I told her about my plans and added, for the sake of something to say, maybe when I get back, I'll come over to Ireland and see you. And she said, don't come and see me unless you want to marry me. So, to cut a long story short, that's how, rather than a Rhondda wedding, I had a Dublin one. Our wedding cake, a splendid 3-tier creation, made and iced by my Auntie Marion, survived the ferry journey over. And so did the busload of my relatives, who still visibly shudder when they recall the storm they somehow sailed through on the Irish Sea. And that's 40 years ago now. Yes, last year was our Ruby wedding. Not bad, though looking on Facebook today, I've just seen something that tops it. The parents of one of my Henry Cavan Junior School friends are celebrating their platinum anniversary. Congratulations to Myra and Don Bowen, long-time residents of Hill Street, Penygraig, and faithful listeners to John on the Rhondda. It was a sunny day for their Rhondda wedding 70 years ago, and that evening they went to the pictures together. Isn't that nice? The film they saw? A Streetcar Named Desire. I'm John Geraint Roberts. Join me for another trip down Memory Terrace, next time in John on the Rhondda.